This is HNN.
Good evening. This is HNN, the Holotable Swift News Network. You're not even remotely close to around the clock. Taylor Swift, Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes news, reaction, review, theory crafting, and more source. I'm Dylan Thomas, your host, and joining me from the Chelsea Hotel is the incomparable Patty Smith. Patty, how are you this wonderful evening?
I'm good, Dylan. How are you?
I'm doing great. Folks, exciting news. We've actually decided to completely change the format. We are not only going to be your source for Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes, but we are going to be the first intergalactic Taylor Swift podcast on the YouTubes.
I assume
there's one somewhere else. So,
I mean, I have no qualms with this. You've been doing Project 1989. It was destiny.
Just like Taylor Swift, we were hiding what we were doing over the past year. Now you guys have to all go back and listen to the old episodes and find that secret piece of what we've been doing.
I hope we don't have any Swiftie haters. We probably do. That's fun. I like that. That's way better than Jar Jar.
How you been?
Oh man, I'm good. I'm good. It's been a couple of weeks.
It has. At dinner tonight, my wife said that, you know, I haven't quite been the person that she married 20 years ago. And she understands it's been a really rough week for the past week. And she said, I hope Sarah gets the better version of you that I've been missing for the past week. So, yeah, we'll see how this goes tonight.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Okay, well.
Been a little personal stress. Haven't been home. The internet dropped for me for 24 hours. There was someone putting down mulch and he took his shovel and shoved it right through that orange cable going into the house for the internet. And I learned just how little I can do for my job in 24 hours because, you know, you need the network.
Yeah. So, yeah. We've had the internet go out a few times. I had to switch providers and I really did not want to switch providers. Cause it was just two options.
Yeah.
You know, the devil, you know, right? So, yeah. Anyway, but there was a time where it was going out like every week for like 24 hours. So I feel ya. Thanks, RJ.
Thanks, RJ.
Anyway, but we've got, I don't even know where we want to start. There's headlines and everything.
There's headlines. There's news. There's characters. TV content update. I think I don't know. It seems really vague.
Okay, so like we got a title update today, but I feel like we didn't get a title update post.
Yes.
I was like, this feels flat.
It does.
All right. It's not just me.
No. I think part of it was they had a little bit of an update that I believe you were responsible for.
I was. So if you guys have not watched Great Expectations, I did say, you know, there is a 0.01% chance that the game just won't work tomorrow. I gotta go buy a lottery ticket, actually. I'll be right back.
I believe there was going to be no math on this podcast tonight, but no, we are going to math this up beyond belief. So,
man, look, I think I just used up all my good like juju or something. I don't even know if that's good juju or bad juju, but whatever kind it is, I used it up.
Well, you know, we're going to use the word goo quite a bit tonight because we're going to be talking about Jar Jar's new kit. And I just think that's a more accurate term than what actually it is that goes around. So. Do we want to jump into some of this?
Yeah, where do we want to start? There's Jar Jar. We had chaos last week. We've got chaos this week. I think we're gonna have chaos next week too.
You know, let's jump into Jar Jar because I think that was the piece that everyone's kind of been waiting on. And the chaos last week really ties back into the chaos of this week and tying all those things together.
Okay.
So let's get into Mr. Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah. I have not read his kit. I did say that I wasn't going to read it until today. So I obviously know the 0.01% thing because that was pretty unavoidable. And then Zareth told me there's like 100% or 1,000% evasion or something.
Yes, there is. Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah. Anyway, that's all I know.
So, can we read this a little different?
Okay.
I would like to talk about. There's something in here. Yes. Can I talk about a new mechanic that's coming in because it's tied to all the other pieces in the kit, and I think it makes a little bit more sense if you understand what it is.
Okay.
Okay. So we're going to start with talking about frustration, and then you can read the kit, but I think it
Okay.
makes sense for you to I assume you want to read the kit because you haven't read it, and it's always more fun when you've never read a kit, and then you're just like, what the huh?
Like, I feel like that's probably going to be happening a lot. Okay.
So there is a part of his kit called frustration.
Okay.
It is applied to the enemies.
So it's like a debuff?
It's like a debuff that the enemies become frustrated based off of various things that happen. And depending on the number of stacks of frustration that they have, one, two, or three, bad things happen. So if
So
they
it's
have.
kind of like the opposite of confuse,
It is, yeah.
even though confusion and frustration both sound like they would be.
together. And in fact, they missed the chance of putting confusion on its kit. So one stack of confusion means the bad guys can't assist or counterattack.
Assist. Okay.
Two, whenever this character, so two stacks of frustration, whenever this character gains bonus turn meter, remove two stacks of recharge from the shield generator and expose this character for 2 turns.
Oh.
So 2 turns, whenever it gets bonus turn meter, it exposes, they expose themselves. And for frustration three, special abilities are unusable for one attack, and then you remove all stacks of frustration after that attack.
Okay, so if you have three stacks of frustration, you are basically ability blocked.
Ability block for 1 turn, and then you go back to zero frustration.
Okay. And so, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yep.
I was going to refresh the other Gungan kits and then I didn't because, work and life. The recharge, when we get to zero stacks of recharge on the shield generator, it takes its turn, right? Is that
Correct.
correct? And then it goes back up to whatever it started at.
Yep.
Yeah.
The question on that, because the shield generator has a basic,
Yeah.
is do you does it use the basic?
I'm assuming it would. Like, what
That would
else
be
is it
the way that
gonna,
I understand it.
like, I don't know what else it's gonna do.
But no one has yet to, at least anyone playing just the marquee events, has actually generated a turn with the shield generator because it doesn't last long enough to make that happen. So
Right, because the team isn't done. Okay.
So that is frustration, and it's in the kit, so it matters as we get into this.
Okay. So, light side support, Gungan, pretty straightforward. So you're still gonna have Boss Nass as your leader.
Yep.
And that is that. I love this. Key attributes. Jar Jar cranks the dial to 11. Okay, you guys say so. Okay, so special, but whatever. Disrupting all this. I don't know what we need to look at and all this. The main thing is that his event is starting on May 2nd and
Yes.
only lasts for a week. And if you have not watched Meathead's stream on Twitch, the VOD is up. So you can go, you can just, it's literally Meathead Militia is his Twitch handle. And around 12 minutes in, on his last stream, he did a Q&A with CGABC, I believe. And about 12 minutes in, he does say that they believe the second event for Jar Jar. So the first one is May 2nd, and he says the
Okay.
second one after that will be in about 3 months, give or take.
Okay.
So I don't know if that also means like the third one would be 3 months afterwards or if they're going to change it. Who knows? But fair, I guess fair warning. Surprisingly, warning.
Spoken like a true product manager, you didn't ask the question of what happens after the first return of the event. So it's we haven't thought about it.
I
It's
will
not a
say,
requirement right now.
He didn't say that. I'm saying that because
but still,
I'm the
that is the
asshole.
yes, yeah. But we know how this is going to work. What do you mean? You guys were already planning the second time around. We just assumed everyone would have them after three.
Right. Yeah, it's done. So, okay, and you need them all at Relic 5 to get Jar Jar, all that fun stuff, Naboo raid, yada yada. Okay. All this great, things. Okay. So his basic ability is how wooed. This is gonna
Mary-Kate and
be
Ashley Olsen are now in Star Wars: Galaxy of Heroes.
how I can't even say how
How
wooed because I
wooed.
want to say not how. Okay, so deal special damage to all enemies. I like this, an AoE on a basic. Okay, deal
Yes.
special damage to all enemies on his turn. On his turn, one of three effects will occur. Okay, CG, put a comma after the word turn. On his turn, comma, one of three effects will occur. Inflict death mark for one turn to the healthiest enemy, which can't be resisted if they have at least three debuffs. So, okay. The weakest Gungan ally gains damage immunity for one turn. Gungan allies gain tenacity up for one turn. Okay. Additionally, this attack has a 0.01% chance to instantly defeat a random enemy, which can't be evaded, increased to 1% chance if there are any separatist enemies. This attack can't be countered. Okay. So I feel like if none of the enemies have at least three debuffs, then that death mark thing can't happen. Like, I feel like
Correct.
that immediately takes one of those effects away. So you kind
Yep.
of like are limiting your options there, which is fine, but
I would hope so. Otherwise, if it spins to the dead, if it's option death mark and they don't have three debuffs, then you just get nothing, which kind of
Right.
stinks at that point.
Right, exactly. So, and I'm assuming as well, like if the least healthy ally has three debuffs, still nothing would happen because it says it's the healthiest enemy.
Okay,
Right? Like I would still assume it would be one of the other two options.
yes,
That
it
being
would.
said, it's probably broken.
Yes, it is probably broken. I'm now reading their kits going, does this any of this change if I insert a comma at a place that it might make more sense? And I don't think it does.
Right.
Yeah, so basically, my guess would be there's a 1 in 3 chance that nothing happens.
Right.
And then damage immunity is great, tenacity up is tenacity up.
Oh man. Okay. So that's his basic. His special is uh-oh, big boomas. A cooldown of four, and it's an Omicron. He has GAC Omicrons. All right. So, deal special damage to all enemies. If target enemy had protection, stun that enemy for one turn. Otherwise, inflict them with three stacks of expose for one turn. 0.01% chance all enemies lose all turn meter and are inflicted with fear for one turn, which can't be copied, dispelled, prevented, or resisted. Increased to 1% chance if there are any separatist enemies. If all allies are Gungans, all enemies are inflicted with plasma residue for one turn, which can't be copied. That just makes me think of, side note, like there was this show I watched as a child, and I think it was like a Canadian show. So if you don't get this reference, it's fine. I can't even remember what it was called. I think it was like the Uh-Oh Show or something. Anyway, they slimed people on it, and that's what I'm
Oh.
thinking of.
Oh, okay. We record scratch. All
Yeah.
right. We've got to take a step back.
Yeah.
So, You Can't Do That on Television was a Canadian show
Okay.
that slimed people.
This was like a kids' style game show.
So, okay. That was Double Dare, which was also a Nickelodeon show, which I
Okay.
think, but yes, it's a common thing, but.
Okay.
So is did you watch You Can't Do That on Television as a kid?
I don't think so. It
Okay.
doesn't sound familiar.
It was Like when Nickelodeon came out, like 84, 85, it was like one of the first shows on there, and it was massively Canadians because you know who was on You Can't Do That on Television?
Yeah.
The Canadian princess herself, Alanis Morissette.
Ah. Okay. I don't think
It
I
was
watched
such a
it.
great show. Such a great show.
I remember that it was on the YTV channel and I watched it
Okay.
after school.
All right.
So
I was just wondering if maybe it was not the same show, but like they just gave it different names and on different things or not so.
and you had like they all wore like solid colored t-shirts and it would be like
Yeah.
green or purple and then they'd have like these slime name tags on.
Awesome.
Anyway.
So I'm going to refer to plasma residue as goo. You are just dropping goo on people. That
Yeah, you're
that's what it is.
yeah.
So
Okay, so that's that. Anyway, back to it. Plasma residue. This character loses 100% evasion. If this character becomes inflicted with shock, deal reduced massive damage to all enemies with plasma residue, then remove all instances of plasma residue. Okay. So it's kind of like a weird plague.
we're going to talk about this later because there is a very specific interaction that you have to understand of why that's going to be really big. But also this is where turn order is going to come in. We'll talk about that a little bit later.
Okay. Mulpokey is validating my existence right now. It was called uh-oh.
Oh, Canada.
I'm not crazy. Okay. So while in Grand Arenas and all allies are Gungans, so this is the Omicron, dispel bonus protection and protection up on all enemies, and they lose 5% max health and max protection stacking, which can't be evaded for the rest of the encounter. Then inflict the target enemy with protection disruption for one turn. Plasma residue can't be resisted. Whenever this ability is used, reduce the cooldown of all other Gungan ally abilities by one.
Oh, that's
Okay.
pretty nice. I didn't realize it had the ability reduction on the
That's
Omicron. So
okay.
it's always a bonus.
So far we have an AoE basic
Yes.
and an AoE special.
And Harples,
Yeah.
Booma, and Nass all have AoEs as well.
Oh man. Okay. Okay. So next special, Weasel Warriors. Okay. Cooldown of five. It's Zeta. Deal special damage to target enemy and a random enemy. Gungan allies recover 10% protection, 0.01% chance all Gungan allies recover 100% health and protection and gain 100% turn meter and foresight for two turns, increased to 1% chance if there are any separatist enemies. Okay. If all allies are Gungans, excluding summoned allies, for each different debuff on target enemy or random enemy, I'm assuming they mean the random enemy that gets
Yep.
hit. That could be copied and dispelled, excluding stacking debuffs. That debuff is dispelled and inflicted on that enemy. What?
Yeah.
Okay. For each different debuff on the target enemy or the random enemy that can be copied or dispelled, that debuff is dispelled and inflicted.
So the way I read this is it's Cassian's special.
Okay.
But it puts undispellable debuffs in its place. So it flips the target's debuffs to locked. It copies the random target's debuffs over and locks them, and they're locked in place for one turn.
Okay. This is worded so
Yeah,
weird.
yeah.
So, if the target enemy has no debuffs, let's just
Yep.
work through this with me here while my brain has an aneurysm. And the random enemy has, like, I don't know, shock, I don't know,
Yep.
something. That debuff gets dispelled from the random enemy and then inflicted on the target enemy.
And it becomes undispellable when it's on the target enemy.
Right. And it's there for one turn.
Correct.
And then they get all enemies are inflicted with two stacks of frustration for one turn, which can't
Yes.
copy. That is a okay. I think it's not even done yet. Oh, this is like the frustration explanation that you went through. Okay, cool. That is I don't even know how to phrase how confused my brain feels. That's like
Yeah.
a yeah.
Did they ask Jar Jar to write this?
Probably. CG's having staffing issues. Write your own kit. Okay. So his unique Misa Okide. Okide? Okay, I don't know. Can you tell I haven't watched the prequels in years?
I don't think that's the word that they meant it to be.
Okide or Okide?
Misa
Okide?
Okide, I don't, that's just dumb.
Right?
Just dumb.
It's a Zeta and an Omicron. I'm just gonna say Misa, okay.
Misa, okay.
So at the start of battle, Jar Jar loses 75% health and gains that much max protection,
Yep.
the usual spiel. At the start of battle, Jar Jar is inflicted with Death Mark until he receives damage or evades an attack. If the enemy leader is Separatist, at the start of the encounter, Jar Jar gains 50 speed for the rest of the encounter. Jar Jar's debuffs can't be evaded, and he can't be called to assist. Okay, interesting.
Yep.
Whenever another character gains foresight, Jar Jar gains foresight for one turn. Whenever Jar Jar gains foresight, he dispels it and blinds himself instead for one turn. Whenever Jar Jar
Yeah.
evades a basic ability, the enemy that missed is inflicted with a stack of frustration for one turn at the start of the next turn, which can't be copied or resisted. Whenever an enemy dazes, staggers, or stuns a Gungan ally, Deathmark Jar Jar until he receives damage or evades an attack. Why wouldn't you just say Jar Jar gains Deathmark? Freaks.
Because Jar Jar wrote the kit.
Okay.
Jar Jar is
Okay.
random, so we put words randomly in order. That's what we do.
Why is he gaining blind on himself
That's the one
so that he misses?
I've read this a bunch of times, and it just I think they do that because it's supposed to be that he also does kind of hurt his own team, or he hurts. There's a weird piece in this that he's supposed to also be somewhat detrimental to his team.
Right.
That seems more theme than anything else.
So, okay. I don't know how I feel about this, but fine. If there is an active ally shield generator, Jar Jar has plus 1000% evasion. Whenever a character gains bonus turn meter, Jar Jar has a 1% chance of gaining a bonus turn, increased to 10% chance if it is an enemy. Ooh, okay. Whenever this effect occurs, Jar Jar can't gain another bonus turn from this ability for two turns. I feel like that might be, I would not be surprised if that ends up being broken as well.
Yes.
So while in Grand Arena and all allies are Gungans, whenever the shield generator uses Plasma Pulse, so that's the basic,
Yep.
reset all of Jar Jar's cooldowns. Whenever a Gungan ally is dazed, staggered, or stunned, they dispel it and gain shield up 25% for two turns.
So
Okay.
they
That
did
seems like kind of
something.
lackluster.
I don't know about the Omicron.
Yeah.
This
Yeah, that's what
is
I mean.
genius of what they did in the rest of the kit.
And thus unique.
Yes, it is genius.
Okay.
So
I'm taking your word for it.
the whole kit revolves around keeping this shield generator up for as long as possible.
Yes.
So You put Death Mark on, there are events that trigger Death Mark on
Right.
Jar Jar, which effectively turns him into a taunt.
Yeah, exactly.
But he's got 1,000% evasion, which means they miss. And when they miss, he automatically loses Death Mark.
He loses it when they miss.
Yeah. So they found a really cool way of putting an auto taunt on him, or a sometimes taunt on him. But you're not going to one shot him off the board because with the 1,000% evasion, you're going to miss. So they also didn't put anything in his kit about you can't kill Jar Jar until everyone else on the board is dead. What they've essentially said is that Jar Jar can't die as long as the shield generators.
Right. Yeah, okay. I do like this death mark thing.
Yeah.
And the evasion thing is interesting.
The evasion piece is just a really interesting way of making sure that the shield generator is targeted first, but then the death mark they do something to prevent. It's the Padme bodyguard kit thing.
Okay. So with the
So,
decoy.
yep.
Okay. So his second unique, Mooey Mooey, I love you. Zeta and an Omicron. Like a cow.
Don't. Ugh.
Okay. Gungan allies have +75% accuracy. If the enemy leader is a separatist at the start of the encounter, all Gungan allies gain 50% max protection until the end of the encounter, or Jar Jar is defeated for the first time. At the start of the first turn, at the start of the first turn, so like anybody's for like any, it doesn't matter if it's
Yep.
yours or the enemy. Okay. If there are no Galactic Legends, all enemies are inflicted with a stack of frustration for one turn. They forgot the word of. With a stack frustration, stack of, I'm frustrated. Increased to 3 stacks if they are stealth. If who is stealth?
Yeah, I
Like if all of the enemies are stealthed, if one enemy is stealth, if somebody on your team, like who?
You know, stealthy. Stealthy McStealtherson. If he's
Stealthy
stealth,
McStealthy.
everyone gets stealth.
Oh, CG. Proofread, which can't be resisted. Okay. If different enemies take consecutive turns. Okay. A random Gungan ally gains a bonus turn. Whenever Jar Jar misses an attack on his turn, so when he's blinded,
Yep.
all other Gungan allies assist once per turn. Okay, dealing 50% less damage. Whenever the ally shield generator uses plasma pulse, Gungan allies ignore protection for one attack. Interesting. Okay. The consecutive turns things is also weird.
That's a anti Imperial Trooper because they take a turn and all the stacks reset.
Okay.
At least
Yes.
that's my guess. That would be my guess of why that's there.
Okay. If there is an active ally shield generator, Gungan allies can't drop below 100% health while they have protection and can't be instantly defeated. Nice.
That
Okay.
also means you can't put plague on them, or plague doesn't do anything because if they're at 100% health,
You're
plague goes away.
right. Ooh, good call.
Yeah.
Okay. While in Grand Arenas and all allies are Gungans, at the start of the first turn, the ally shield generator gains 2 stacks of plasma shielding for every 3 relic amplifier levels Jar Jar has. So theoretically, could get 6.
Yes, I
Okay.
hate that. I hate that.
And the plasma shielding is what keeps it alive. The
Correct.
recharge is where we go. We want it to go down.
Yep.
Okay. Whenever a non-Gungan enemy gains damage immunity, all Gungan allies gain damage immunity for one turn. So, like Droidica or something like that. Whenever a Gungan ally gains a bonus turn from this ability, they gain 5% mastery until the end of the encounter.
So, I have
Okay.
no idea if he can beat Jedi Master Kenobi. But in Grand Arena, when he puts damage immunity on a character for his first turn,
Yeah.
all of the Gungans now get damage immunity.
That's gonna be funny.
And can Cat Leap out damage immunity?
Well, you can't instantly defeat them.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So, well, it wouldn't even matter.
Yeah.
I had a thought and now it's gone. Does damage immunity count as you evading an attack? Does somebody, I genuinely
No.
don't know the answer to that.
It is not. You don't evade it, you don't take any damage is what it comes down to.
Okay. I was just curious, you
Because
know.
I think when they hit you, I think it says resisted.
I don't know.
Maybe that's it, yeah.
Gonna have to like go find a Django team to like just hit them and see what happens.
There's no, I mean, there's so much random crap in this. There's just no way to understand whatever's going to happen.
And also, like, okay, Dar makes a really good point in chat too. It's so random that, like, how are we gonna know if it's working
Yeah,
right?
yeah.
Like, I'm cracking jokes that it's gonna be broken, and it probably is gonna be
Yes.
broken, and no one will know.
Well, and I think we already saw something in the we saw something in the notes just like, hey, by the way, here are these like three characters. We're very much watching what the interaction is going to be, and we're going to fix it if it's broken. Like,
Oh.
awesome. That's great already.
Did they say that in the like
It
notes
was
up here?
posted, someplace, and it was,
Oh, like in the update notes or something like that?
yeah, or it was probably like on a event server. I saw a link that someone put a screenshot.
Oh boy.
Yeah, that's what it was. So Jar Jar Binks, for Jedi Cal, C, and Bam, the team is keeping an eye on their interactions with Frustration Tier 3. And if we feel we are required to intervene for design integrity, we will. So
What's the tier 3 1 again?
that's the one where they don't get a special ability. So
Because it's bugged.
what happens with Beskar Mandalorian if you frustrate him while he's in poop stance and he can't release poop stance?
Constipation.
He he's frustrated because he's constipated.
Duh. This kit is so weird. Like
Yeah.
I feel like it's interesting, but I'm also just like I don't even know what's going on here.
Yeah, it feels like they're like, oh, I bet this team's gonna win. So we're gonna put this one random thing in there to prevent this one team, but we're not gonna specifically call it out.
Yeah. That's exactly what it feels like. So goody. And I guess some people will get them next week. This is also interesting. Can I just point out too for this that you need the four Gungans at Relic 5, and only one of them is farmable as of right
Yeah.
now.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Two are
Two?
B. Didn't Tarples go farmable today, or was that Boss Nass that went farmable today?
I think it's Boss Nass that did.
Oh, jeez.
I think I know why you're thinking Tarples. It's because oh, what's that Wookiee? I'm blanking. I think it's the Wookiee.
Zalbar, Tarful. Tarful.
Tarful.
Yep,
He
that's what it
went
was.
accelerated.
Tarful went accelerated. That's right.
That's why you're thinking Tarples.
Yep. That was it.
Yeah, so only one of them is farmable, and yeah, goody.
Yay. I don't know. I just it was amazing over the past couple of months that it was like, I can't imagine CG doing this would be such a bad idea. Nope, they did it. I can't imagine they're doing this would be such a bad idea, and they did it. I just.
I don't understand the rush to get him into game next week. Like, why are we rushing to put him in the game? It doesn't make sense. The raid's not happening. Who
It's,
cares about GAC?
yeah.
We already have too many teams.
Yep. It's you can't win by max banners any more than max banners as it is right now. So that, you know, we're it doesn't work. So yeah. I don't know. I would the way they're doing these cadences, I if everything's tied back to how much money they make off of these marquees, I would think that putting him in monthly would have a better payoff than giving it 3 months and letting people basically slow farm over the next 3 months until he comes back.
I am way more inclined to spend crystals and buy crystals and spend crystals on gamble packs and whatever if I know that it's going to be around
Yeah.
faster than 3 months from now. Because exactly what you said, in 3 months, okay, I'll just farm them, I guess.
Yeah. Slow farm all the pieces that you can, like start with Boss Nass, you'll get Tarples in a
Yeah.
couple of weeks. You work on those and maybe you hurry one up, but I just I don't know. It doesn't.
It doesn't make sense to me. Like I other than like wanting people to buy him right away, but like we don't need him for anything yet.
And it goes back to the people that are buying characters are the same group of people that are buying. And honestly, it's not, they're going to make more money off of the Lightspeed bundles that they that were data mined than they will off of Jar Jar.
Right. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's I think Gambit, they said there's about 2,500 people that are capable of doing that event right now. I guarantee they sell more than 5,000 of those Lightspeed bundles just because people want to get up Geos and Night Sisters and just kind of get them out of the way and get them done.
2,500 people that are capable of doing the Jar Jar event.
Yes.
So that's more than Bo.
More than both. Yeah.
Interesting.
I think it's because the marquees were probably a little bit more friendlier than what you know what most people were seeing from that side. So there is also a pack that they posted something about as well that I think it's a little confusing on how the pack is going to work.
Yeah, it was like a clarification on the pack, right?
Yeah, so the pack is going to be the way Meathead described it as four buckets.
I pulled it up.
Yeah, four buckets, and there's an equal chance of getting each one of or you'll get pieces out of all four of the buckets.
Okay, so in bucket one, he says that you're guaranteed to get, so it says you are guaranteed all four reward buckets.
Yep.
Each bucket calculates their drops independently. Okay, so bucket one, you're guaranteed to get 20 Boss Nash shards, 25 Tarple shards, 25 Gungan Boumadir shards, and 25 Phalanx shards. So you get all of that
Yep.
in bucket one. Bucket two, you get more Boss Nash shards with a 50% chance for 10, 45% chance for 15. 5% chance for 25. Bucket three is 15 shards of Tarples, Boumadir, or Phalanx. So one of the three.
Yep.
And it's an equal chance for either of them. And then bucket four is gear. So 50% chance that you will get five each of the Cairo salvage and one Zeta. 45% chance for 10 of the Cairo salvage and one. Or and two Zetas and 5% chance for 15 Cairo salvage and three Zetas. That is a terrible bucket.
Yeah.
15, like the most I'm gonna get is 15 Cairo of each. That's not even a full
Yeah.
Cairo piece. Are you kidding me? And three Zetas? What am I gonna do with three Zetas?
So you're basically getting 40 of either Tarples, Booma, or Phalanx, and then 25 of the other two, and 30 to 45. What? Yeah, I guess it's 30 to 45 of Boss Nass
Right,
for
okay.
$40, and there's not a, I don't know if there's a limit on the number of them that you can get because you can't read it out of the,
That's a
can't read it in the
dumbass
screen.
pack. Oh, I like that.
Again, not everything related to Jar Jar has to be random numbers generated, and maybe it does or doesn't do something. So, the kit may be fun. Chaos is fun. Crazy things happening is fun, but I feel like they missed a chance to get people, again, to get a character that people really kind of want in their hands and to play around with. And I think they made a mistake.
I think they did too.
I with seeing the way that people have chased after Bo over the past 4 months, and frankly, knowing that she came back, seeing people accelerate their path to get there, they need to kill the 3 month journey guide characters.
Yeah, they need to do it
It's
either straight to Journey Guide or every month.
yeah, just kill this idea. You do it with Proving Grounds. People look forward to Proving Grounds every month. Just get rid of the 3 month cadence.
Yeah, and like I think the thing with Bo was that they didn't say she was coming back
Yeah.
every month, but we all kind of anticipated that it was going to happen based off how things played out. And it made people spend crystals or whatever to get the requirements ready.
And again, they figured out that the way you get people to play these characters is you put a really great Datacron in place. We're gonna get a Datacron for Jar Jar in the next 2 weeks.
Right. Yeah, because we're going to get new Datacrons.
Yeah. So if you bring it back once a month, you've got people that will accelerate it, because I guarantee that Datacron is gonna do in stupid things that, somehow Jar Jar will find a way to kill two Galactic Legends on the board with one team. Like that will probably be what they end up doing in that case. So people will chase after it just to get them into PvP modes, because that's, again, there's a big push on that side of the game. So
Yeah, so that's Jar Jar.
yeah, that's we'll see what happens. We'll see what the event looks like. I am ready for it, and I am over provisioned for it, so I will be a bad representation of what it's going to look like. So
Because you've got your Gungans higher.
I took him a relic gate because I just know you're going to need him in the raid, so I started putting resources on him at that point. So
Which honestly, I think everyone is, you might as well just do it. It was kind of like when Grand Inquisitor came back and I was getting my Inquisitors ready when he came back the first time. I was like, well, you need Relic 5. I'm like, but I really need Relic 7 for the Reva mission. So you might as well just go all in. Same idea, in my opinion.
I agree. I agree.
Okay, so that's Jar Jar.
Yep.
We had a TV fiasco last week.
Fiasco. Actually, it was great for me. I loved it.
Maybe I was gonna say maybe it was Jar Jar's fault, but it wasn't. It was Mandalore's.
Was bad. A lot of fun.
So, unless you live under a rock, TV was canceled last week because no one could play it. We all just got the spinning wheel of death. And then when they updated it, no matter what TB your guild selected, so it didn't matter if you were doing Empire, Hoth, or Geo. We all just went into light side Geo. And then clearly CG was like, you know what, fuck it, let's
Yeah.
just call it a day, can it. And so we had no TB.
We're just gonna kill this thing. We don't really care.
And it did look like it was Mandalore's fault. There was something in the data mine that Sig Sig found where it was trying to find like the
Yeah.
Mandalore planet and it couldn't. And so that was just a hot mess. And it sounds like we're gonna be getting the make good for it. I think it's next week that they said,
On the 30th.
the 30th. So we're all supposed to be getting the same rewards that we would have gotten from the last TB. What I would like to know, now that I'm thinking about this right now, it's popping into my brain. The 30th, we will be in a TB. So if we're supposed to get the rewards from the last TB, which I would assume would include special missions, like the ones that you do during phase one,
I don't
is,
think we're going to.
oh man, if they don't include that, that's going to be absolutely ridiculous. They got to include that stuff. Like, that's huge.
The comment I read was end of event rewards.
That's not cool, CG.
Yes, so TB reward update. Rewards will be sent out on the 30th. They will include your phase and end of TB rewards.
Okay.
Okay. Yep. Sorry. I read that as your end of TB rewards.
So my question is, the 30th, we will be in phase two. And if you, let's just say, hypothetically, you do worse in phase one for your rewards than you did on the last TB. Is the fact that like the phase one is already happening, is that going to screw up with their make good plans? You know what I mean? Because we're in a TB.
So
So is there some weird code that's going to go, oh, but your last phase one rewards were sent out 3 hours ago, and here they are, not 2 weeks ago.
my assumption is they're looking at a very specific data set that happened between this window or backwards, and they're not going to. Likely they're running it now, or they're running it over the weekend to validate all of that data. Not,
Right.
we're running it at 8 a.m. on the 30th so that we can give it to you at 5 p.m. on the 30th from that side.
Yeah.
They won't even see this current territory battle in the data. You would hope. You would hope that would be the case.
I feel like I should just not stop. Like, I should just stop saying the things that come into my head.
No, everyone's just like, that's not what's gonna happen.
Yeah. So anyway, that's I do wish it wasn't so like far away that we were getting the rewards. I understand why it is, because it's gonna be, it's so much work to figure this out, because you can't just be like, oh, everybody in ODB gets this set, and like here's the guild that they got these rewards, because if you switch guilds, it's a whole thing. So you have to kind of go in, like, I would think, like player by player, and be like, this player got these rewards, this player got these rewards.
And they said that they are prioritizing Rise of the Empire rewards. So if your guild alternates between, say,
Light side
Darkside
and
Geo and Rise of the Empire, and the last time you ran it was Darkside Geo, they're going to go back two territory battles to your last Rise of the Empire attempt, and
Okay.
that's what they're going to pay you out on. So there are certain cases that they may actually have to go dip back into other data sets to find that.
Yeah. Okay. Oh yeah, and here's what you were saying about the characters. It's Jedi Cal, C, and Bam for their interactions with frustration, which makes sense because those are the characters that, like, their special abilities.
Well, Cal has the potential to be really broken in that case, because he uses his basic and then rolls into a bunch of special abilities, and
Yeah.
can he break out of that? Like, there's that piece. C, I don't understand where that limitation is.
I don't
Because,
know.
yeah,
Yeah, I don't know where the C.
unless he goes to link two characters, and something that's part of the link action causes him to get his third stack of frustration, and now he can't link the second
Oh.
character. Yeah, there's a lot of characters though that have like weird bonus turn interactions that cause things to break. My favorite though is, constipation leads to frustration. Or let's do the
Frustration.
full, yeah, let's use the full on Yoda. Frustration leads to constipation. Constipation leads to more frustration. Frustration leads to the dark side.
And that's how we're getting Darth Jar Jar.
That's how we're getting Darth Jar. That's the special unlock, is that Bo Mando goes in a poop stance and then Darth Jar Jar pulls the
Oh man. Ah. Oh jeez. Okay, so I don't think there was anything. Oh. I totally missed this. Did you see this at the very top of the updates today? Increased Datacron credit currency cap to 60 million.
No, what, huh? What?
Yeah, right at the top of April. Look at that. April 24th. News. Increased Datacron credit currency.
How much is it?
It's 30 right now. So they're
It is
doubling
good.
it.
It's going to 60.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Wow. Man, talk about burying the lead, CG.
Yeah. Should put that in big red letters,
Right?
so I read it.
Wow. That
This
is.
was I look, I get the update kind of broke some stuff. But yeah, because they didn't immediately put out the patch notes, it feel there's a lot of things that felt like we missed.
Yeah.
Result in issue where players were unable to make a purchase of an item they canceled. I wonder if that's where some of the gifting bugs are coming in.
That could be, because didn't you have that happen?
So I had a weird situation where I would drop network connectivity in the middle of purchases, or it would look like I dropped network connectivity, and then it would just show up in my inbox. But I went to trade gifts with someone for like one of the crystal bundles, and that problem happened, and they delivered me the crystals instead of the other person. So I actually found a way to actually gift myself something in that weird quirk. I can't duplicate it. So, and frankly, the network problem has fixed itself, which means it was probably something I was doing in my basement to cause that. But yeah, fixed an issue where first attack banners are displayed incorrectly. I don't know. I don't pay attention to that.
Me neither. Can we just take a moment here to decipher the English language of Jar Jar event tier 4, Jar Jar, comma, Jar Jar's enemy. He will be facing's unique ability description has their base tier description. Gameplay wise, it uses max tier stuff. What in the actual hell? Like, I know what that sentence is saying, but I shouldn't know what that sentence is saying.
Was helping a customer last week and this week put together a presentation. And they were using blah, blah, blah.
Oh,
Like the
no.
phrase blah, blah, blah as placeholders.
Oh,
And I
no.
went through every place in the deck and I highlighted it in red. He's like, why did you do that? I'm like, because you were going to forget. You're going
Yep.
to forget one of those bullets and you're going to throw this up in front of your boss and it's going to say blah, blah, blah. And I don't want to have to answer why this is happening. It's like, oh, I never thought of that. I'm like, yes, I do this for a living. Just let me do the things that I do to make sure that we don't do dumb stuff. So.
Ah, man. But other than this like random stuff, I feel like there wasn't, a lot of updates or fix. I mean, there was a ton of fixes that they posted about yesterday,
Yeah.
that I just don't really cared about.
Yeah, there's a bunch of just kind of hit or misses. I think the other big thing that came is that they did eventually put a post out about Mandalore.
Yes.
I still feel like we don't have. I have more questions than answers. So the bonus zone requirement for Mandalore is to access the Mandalore bonus zone. Your guild members will need to complete the Crate Dragon special mission on Tatooine during the running instance of the territory battle. So
So it's like the raid.
we're reusing the raid.
Oh,
Yeah, awesome.
why?
It is going to require Bo-Katan, the Mandalorian, and any other three, any, well, or it says, and any additional Mandalorian, so a total of three, all at R7, and it must be completed 25 times, which is less than what we need for Zepho.
Yeah, we need 30 for Zepho.
Okay. So that unlocks the zone. and that's coming off of Tatooine. And then my assumption is this is a neutral zone, although the rules kind of all get thrown out because the additional
Whoa.
requirements. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yep.
This is coming off of Tatooine.
Yes.
The data mine made it seem like it was coming off of Kessel.
So we, well,
It
yeah, I guess,
broke like when it broke
yeah.
last week, it made it seem like it was coming off of Kessel, that it was going to be a
Yeah.
lateral unlock.
It would make sense that this is Tatooine though, because if it's the
Yeah.
Great Dragon, it would be on Tatooine is where it was at.
Wow.
And Endor is a planet, isn't it?
I
In
think so.
territory battles.
I think so.
I wonder if we're going to eventually get the Leia Rey back as.
Oh, good call. So now we will have to do the Reva mission and the Krayt Dragon raid in the
Yay.
same phase.
Yay.
Good job, CG. Good job.
Bonus. Once you unlock Mandalore, this is where again things get a little wonky. R8 Dark Trooper Moff Gideon will have a required mission. So the assumption is you'll need a full team of R8 in not Inquisition, Remnant, Imperial Remnant, R8 for platoons and all of the open missions.
Which makes sense because it's a phase four
Yep.
planet.
And then Relic 9 for the Bo-Katan Mandalore plus Mandalorian's required mission. So they just put mandatory air quotes, all right, mandatory special mission in that zone requiring five Relic 9 characters. And they have done nothing to introduce more Relic 9 materials into the game.
Correct.
That's dumb.
And why R9 for the special mission?
Because they're trying to get people to put characters. So
But like R8 is totally a reasonable ask because you need R7 for the unlock, and it's a phase four planet. I could understand you needing R8 for the mission to, like, the special mission to unlock the planet. The same way that, like, for, like on Braca, you need R7 to unlock Zepho. R9 just seems stupid.
So there are three in this release, there are two specific things that have happened that they are trying to force you to Relic 9 characters that you would not consider Relic 9-ing. The first is, and I think it's garbage that Jar Jar, they do that, you get two stacks of plasma shielding for every three relic levels, which means if you want to fully maximize it, you need to take him to Relic 9. It's you get no bonus past Relic 7 or
Right.
past Relic 6. So that's a bogus reason there. The Bo-Katan piece. And there's an argument to be made that you should take Queen Amidala to Relic 9 because she does have a tank that she shares stats with on the backside of it. They're starting to do some sneaky things, I think, that of about getting characters to Relic 9. And I just it the pieces are too random, they're too rare. We lost to territory wars today. We got one droid brain.
Right.
Guys, it's too rare to start making it requirements. You want to make a requirement on a capital ship, that's fine. Five characters to Relic 9 is just it's dumb. Dumb things are dumb.
I honestly think what's gonna end up happening here is a lot of people. We'll just do the like deploy GP preload
Yep.
deploy GP. The rewards are basically the same as what you get for Zepho, except that the currency is get three instead. So I mean the rewards aren't going to be awful. The platoons are interesting in my
Yeah.
opinion. We've got Leviathan, you've got Stop on there, which is Lovely.
There's at least four Leia Organas.
I mean, like I'm less worried about like a GL being in there because most people take their GLs to
Yeah.
R8, R7, R8. But like stop is relatively new. There's two steps actually now that I'm looking at it really quickly. So
Well,
I guess
so
we'll see.
on, again, it depends on when you would do this zone, but so Dark Trooper Moff Gideon is one of the few teams that can do anything on Haven. So he's likely off of the board in Haven because you're going to need him in the new planet. You wouldn't do this. Yeah, you wouldn't do this any of the time that you would do Dathomir, because I saw Trench in there.
I guess it depends on what route your guild is taking if you're
Yeah.
preloading.
There's at least three Commander Tanos. Which is, again, that's how a lot of people are beating that the special mission for get two or get three with her. I use Leia on that mission, so I, because again, you're not conflicting with Rey on the Zepho missions. Yeah, I don't. Platoons are designed to put pressure on rosters. I think they did a good job putting pressure on rosters. You know, Doc Aphra. No, actually not in, I guess not in Haven. Aphra doesn't do much there. I think that they're doing a good job of putting pressure on rosters.
It's not like they it actually doesn't look too bad. The majority of it is characters that most people will have up high.
So, all right, if you look at slot five, there are at least one Ceer Junda and Ben Solo on there, which means someone is not doing all of the missions on Zephyr. Because you're not beating that UFU mission without those two characters.
You would have to either preload these platoons or do
Yep.
Zepho earlier,
Yeah.
which I think is like that's how I think CG is looking at things. It's not, it's what's in the same like horizontal line,
Yeah.
not like what's the most common path guilds take.
Which is interesting that they're not looking at it from that perspective, considering we're 18 months in at this point, and they should have an understanding of how people are interacting with the game mode.
Yeah, absolutely. But like the majority of it, like I said, doesn't look too bad.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of, I think we will probably see a lot of like just mass deploying,
Yep.
especially with that R9 mission. I think that's a CM. I saw the data mine earlier and I can't remember how many special missions there were, if there were any. Or if they were all CMs. It's going to be interesting.
I assume the third star reward is an actual, or the third tier reward is an actual star.
I'm going to assume as well, because
Okay.
they didn't say anything. And I'm assuming this is going to start next TB.
Yeah, I would imagine that it'll be live in, you know, a couple of days.
Because it again, doesn't say anything. If only we had a title
Yeah,
update
yeah.
So that's fun. Is I think is there any other news?
I think that's it.
Okay.
Yeah, we're a little all over the place in the news because they were a little all over the place in the news. I mean, it was just random posts. It was no.
It's the theme.
Just put everything together in a nice little package.
Look,
There's probably called something like the State of the Galaxy as sponsored by Taylor Swift, or, you know, something to that point. And I think it probably would work. So.
There was only a 0.01% chance we would, stick to a concise plan here.
Yes.
I feel like we did that snow moon.
We did. I think we did.
So work on your Gungans, I guess.
Yes. Be ready in 3 months.
What is your Bantha in the room?
So we actually didn't talk about this. This is another announcement that they made.
Oh,
With the
yeah.
title update, they have disabled Facebook login as a method for logging into your account, essentially allowing you the ability to recover your data in the
Yeah.
event that something happens to your device. And they pushed it out with zero fanfare, with zero warning, and just said, hey, when you do this thing that you have to do, you're going to have to do a title update to play in this. This breaks.
Which is so stupid.
It is, someone is going to get burned by this. It's going to be a case that someone it that the Facebook Connect fails, their mobile device gets, driven over by a truck, and they lose access to their account and time and energy and effort that are tied to it. They should have been doing something about that. Again, we got a month's notice about the forums changing and the date's gonna, you're not gonna, your posts aren't gonna be carried over after this date. And it's like, oh, by the way, we're gonna completely break the way that you actually recover your account. That's just dumb. That is someone's gonna get mad. The community is gonna get spun up about this because someone's gonna lose access to their account, and CG is gonna get, they are going to deserve all of the hate that's gonna come at them in this direction.
Like, what if I have an alt account that's connected through Facebook? Can't use it? Like, that just seems so short-sighted. And I'm sure it's like a crackdown thing that they're trying to do in terms of account sharing or selling accounts or whatever the case may be. But you still gotta do your due diligence.
Actually, I don't think it is.
No.
I think that this is the first step, that this is the first step towards moving that all accounts have to have an EA account associated with it to access the game moving forward.
Oh.
Facebook was just the easiest one for them to kind of kill off in that path. But I think with the PC client coming and the fact that EA is, like, all of these game companies are becoming more aggressive on creating their own storefronts, and they want to engage there because they get to keep a lion's share of it. I think that this is a precursor towards a mandatory EA account for your to be able to play the game.
Yeah, because I think I saw something about if you have an EA account, you're good. Like an EA
Yeah.
Connect account, you're fine. Which seems weird to me because how do you log into your account?
Yeah.
But what do I know?
By the
But
way,
what
in
do
case anyone is concerned, the Columbus Crew just went up 2-1 on Monterey in the
I know?
CONCACAF Cup. This is also a very, very important thing that's going on today. And yes, header by Jason Russell Rowe in the 72nd minute. So this is going to age really well when someone listens to it in a week and the game's over. But yes.
I have no idea how the Leafs are doing, but they're probably choking because it's the Leafs. Okay, so let's move to I Love You, I Know.
Yeah.
Do we want to be positive?
Do
Can
we
we be
have anything to
positive?
be positive about right now?
We can be positive, maybe.
Maybe.
I'm positive about our chances of being positive.
Positive we will try to be positive.
I wasn't sure actually what to put for this because I'm kind of annoyed that Jar Jar is coming next week. It's fine, like whatever. I am looking forward to territory battles. I'm not looking for I like I am, but I'm not, but I am. I just want to see what the Mandalore stuff is.
Yeah.
I also just now that I know we have to do the crate raid to unlock it, though. Is this how they keep the raids relevant? Do they just give them a battle in TV?
Look, people have been asking for the ability to replay old raids. This is how we do it.
I guess.
Wait until they give us the old Rancor raid, and you've got to bring in a team of three and solo
Don't even.
it
I do like, I mean, I know it'll be slightly different, kind of like how like the Reek and the Nexu and all that are also
Yeah.
in TB, and it's not quite the same. So I'm sure it'll be fine.
I'm looking forward to it only because platoons are going to shake up, kind of what you use on things, which means we'll start to use new teams. We'll see new comps come in. It does feel like phases 5 and 6 are even further away as of this happening because the teams that you might be considering kind of pushing off in that direction now just got, either gutted for platoons or they're being pulled into this new zone. But I am looking forward for again just using new teams and seeing kind of what you can do from that side. So
I do like when we get a new planet, like seeing how things end up shaking out in terms of how we go about our path and what we're going to
yeah.
change and like how things kind of like how the domino effect happens from there. And then how, because everything in this TB, like I've said this so many times, everything in this TB just has a domino effect
Yeah.
that, adding another planet is just going to do the same thing. And I like to see like how it ends up working, like with star pickups and rewards and the path changes and all that kind of stuff. And it all just affects each other, and it's just so good.
A lot of questions. Let's just hope it launches okay next week.
Yikes. You know what? You said it, not me. So
Know. So it's on me at this point.
it's totally fine because we didn't jinx it. Okay, so let's do we got a few Discord corner questions to
We
go
do.
over. Okay, so the first one's from Banja. Please do an in-depth side-by-side analysis of all four Gungan kits and recommend turn orders, specific modding, and stat thresholds for your listeners, for a friend.
Yeah. So this is a question that came in a couple of weeks ago, and we made it perfectly clear we were not going to do this. And then I went ahead and did it today.
I know, and oh man, it was great. I was like, this is fantastic. It's like a cheat sheet.
And I'll tell you what, I will get this posted in the next couple of days up on Discord because I broke it into it's a bunch of different slides is kind of the way that I decided to do this. And as I ran it past Mole Pokey today and he's like, hey, looks good. There's a lot of spelling mistakes. And I'm like, yes, and that's just part of the Pico Burrito experience. But I do want to maybe hit on a couple of themes to kind of get people start thinking about it. So all right, so the general Gungan themes and the shield generator is the core mechanic. Like everything in the kit really is. There's a lot of other things happening, but the shield generator is the main thing of everything that's kind of built around. And the first and foremost, and the piece to remember is that while that's active, the Gungans are massively durable. All right, it gives them 500% defense while the shield generator is active. Why that matters is because every one of the Gungans has this idea that they take 75% of their max health, they turn it into max protection, and then they get 500 defense on top of that. And I think a lot of people were panicked, like modding them around this idea of giving them a lot of health so that they become super beefy because there's this concern that they're just going to get wiped off the mat. It's clear through just testing over the past few weeks. Mob them like you normally would. Your attackers get, offense or crit damage sets, speed on your supports and tanks or tanks, because that 500% defense solves a lot of problems, is kind of the piece there. So,
I also feel like Jar Jar himself is also solving a lot of that with like the
yes.
death mark and the evasion, like all that kind of.
He Jar Jar is going to be a tank that doesn't taunt, but you're going to
He's
have to direct
JTR.
his JTR, yes. Except, not. So the other piece is, and we talked a little bit about this, but there are three kind of new mechanics in the kit.
Okay.
The shield generator and recharge. So the shield generator has a number of, do I cover this in the next piece? Yeah, I don't. So the shield generator is essentially, there's this idea of recharge and shielding. As the shielding is essentially there, the shielding is the, his health for the shield generator. So I have a certain stack of shielding in place. There is a heal mechanic on the shield generator. Phalanx can convert charges from the shield generator back into health, is what he does in his kit.
Which is good because you want the charge to go down.
Yes, because as the charge gets all the way down to the bottom, you get a bonus turn where you essentially heal everybody back, and then all the charges come back onto the generator again.
Yeah,
So
exactly.
that's the shield generator mechanic. The next is we talked about frustration, and that's that thing with Jar Jar that ultimately he it's the similar to
Confuse or
confuse,
translation or
thank
whatever
you.
it was.
Yep. To confusion. And there's some unique pieces there. And then the other is shield up.
Yes, I forgot about shield up.
And this gets back to protection up is based off of your max health. So if I get 20% protection up, it actually takes 20% of my max health, converts that into shield, and puts that onto your shield from that side. Shield up acts like health up. It takes, if you get 20% shield up, it takes your max protection number. So let's say you've got 100,000 protection. It takes 20% of that. So 20,000, and your protection is now 120,000 from that side. So they basically said they didn't want to penalize people with protection up. So it's essentially it's health up for or health up for protection.
Right.
And
That
again,
was
because
smart of them.
yeah. And because they've already used protection up and it doesn't work the way that it's supposed to, they have to call it shield, which makes it a little confusing. So,
Right.
and then the third piece is, or I guess the fourth here, the Gungan's damage is based off of debuffs. It's the easiest way to look at this. They are a massive debuff team of where they're at. I'm not going to go through all of the individual kits. There's details that are there, but they all do debuffs, and Phalanx and I'm sorry, Boumadir and Tarples both have bonus damage based on the number of debuffs on the target.
Right.
So that's where it wants to work. Shield generator, there's some details around where that sits. I do. So I boss Nass a little bit. You want them really fast
Yes, because,
because, yeah,
yeah.
first one TM up for the team, second or second special TM down for the enemies.
Yeah, so you're
So,
basically starting the train.
yep, you just want he's gonna run everything. Was going to not say that. I was going to say that differently, and I decided not to say it that way. I did actually, this is the only one I did put mod recommendations in. I meant to do it, I forgot. Speed and potency, because you do want those first round of debuffs from him to stick so that Tarples and our other friend can get things done. The just a note on Tarples. Tarples has a mark mechanic in him,
I
so
forgot about that.
his I think it's yeah, his second special inflicts marked on a target enemy. Tarple ignores taunt.
Right.
So you want to use Tarple to get marked on a target so that you can actually take a target down. Just don't forget that piece. And that's based off of, again, that's based off of the generator, as long as the generator's up. And now I can't remember where I put this in place. Maybe it was under the, yeah. So the Jar Jar kit. So I want to go back to the plasma goo that they talked about.
Okay.
So Jar Jar's first special lands the plasma coating on things. And it does it. So there's a couple of things that happen out of this. So the first is that targets with that are covered in the plasma goo and are shocked take reduced massive damage.
Right.
Tarple has a shock in his kit, and then
Oh.
Boumadir does three times the damage to shock targets with one of his specials, I think.
So you
So when
want to
you,
get shock out there.
You do. In the way you want the turnover to work, and you're probably only going to be able to set this up once, but Jar Jar uses a to get the goo on top of everybody.
Yeah.
Tarple lands or drops shock, and that does the reduced massive damage to everyone. The goo is removed at that point, but then shock stays on all the targets. And then Bombardier follows up with his three times damage on the shock targets.
Ooh, okay. And so remind me, is that attack from Boomerang an AoE or
That I don't remember.
I can't remember. I was just curious, but
Yeah, I don't think so. I think that that's on a special one, which is to a single target. He does have an A, Boomadier does have an A ability block on him as well.
oh, okay.
So again, that's, hey, there's at least a conquest thing in there, if not so.
That's so true.
But I kind of did high level summaries of where those are. Again, I think the turn order is probably you're going to want it to be Boss Nass, Jar Jar, Tarples, Boomadier. Phalanx is just a tank, and he does what he does at that point. There's also, Tarples has a. No, I'm sorry. Boomadier also has like a turn meter swap and frenzy, which is gonna, I think, always ends up screwing things up more than anything else. But that's a high level of what those the kits are. I mean, the problem with the Gungans are it's not five kits.
Right.
It's one massive kit that's
And
just
it's just,
designed to be together.
yeah, it's you don't want to pick the team apart,
Yep. Yeah.
which is going to be interesting for 3v3.
Yeah, I don't know what you do there.
I don't know what you do there either.
Boss Nass, Jar Jar, and somebody is what it
Benchum.
sounds like. Banjo. So, but Banjo, we'll get this posted. Yeah, I'll get it up there in the next couple of days, and people can tear it apart and decide that it's bad. It's also, I Microsoft kept prompting me like, "Hey, do you want to use like this background?" I'm like, "No. I want white pages with black letters. I want this as this is not an infographic. This is as basic as you can make it." So,
Man. Yeah.
there you go. High level.
I love it. It's perfect. And we'll see what ends up happening with
Yeah.
the event and how it all works, and hopefully it works as advertised.
I guess when you write it down, people can come back after you and be like, "No, you are dumb." And that's all right, because I am dumb. That happens.
Okay, and then Bane was asking, who is CG targeting with an R9 combat mission? Won't the obvious choice simply be to sandbag and overdeploy to stars and skip the mission entirely? Related, how can Bane still justify R9 Mandos? Yeah. So I genuinely do think the obvious choice is just to overdeploy.
Yes.
Hope that you can get the better combat missions done in like for the points and other planets in the phase, so that like that's really what it's going to come down to. It's going to come down to you maximizing your combat points in other missions on other planets so that you can take your GP and deploy it into Mandalore and preload as much as possible, and then doing the exact same thing when you actually are getting the stars on Mandalore. You're going to want to get the best points on missions elsewhere so that you can maximize your deployment there.
So, what I wonder, it'd be interesting when people start running the math, is now that we have two planets that we are trying to deploy early into or to preload, does that split enough GP that now it makes it harder to maintain the star push? Because we're at 40 right now, and in theory, if we can three star Mandalore, we would be at 41.
Right.
And I think we've got enough bows that we can unlock it this time around.
Yes, we do.
So
So I think this is it's a good point because I mean in this instance it should be okay because the earliest you can get to Zepho is in phase three, and the
okay.
earliest you could get to Mandalore is phase four. So theoretically, you're going to have a whole phase where you are preloading
Got it.
Zepho before Mandalore is even a thing.
Okay.
And obviously, this is like a later endgame guild tactic. So not all guilds will have this. We have the issue in our guild where we have to close Zepho missions entirely, like early, because we will hit the first checkpoint.
Yeah.
And we don't want to do that. So we actually stop preloading in Zepho, which means that theoretically, when Mandalore opens, we'll be able to take that and move, we'll be able to split it exactly like you're saying, and it won't take away from Zepho too much. It's just a matter of how much will it gain in Mandalore. But yeah, it's and then it's just a matter of once they're both open, do you do them on the same day or like star them on the same
Yeah.
day? Or do you try and do Zepho? Let's just say, for argument's sake, do Zepho on phase five and do Mandalore phase six.
It probably makes sense to do Zepho on five because most people aren't running light side teams at that point. And then those light side teams can then be used over
Mandalore.
in Mandalore on day six.
And just related to this, because Six Lime is asking in chat, if you get no stars on Zepho, but you get the Cairo bonus node, that does, yes, it does lock you out of Zepho. It's considered a star like check mark,
Yeah.
even though it's not actually a star reward. So yeah, it's the equivalent of if you were to get like one star in Dathomir, then you're locked out of Dathomir. It's the same idea. So yeah, you definitely want to preload it and then go all in to get as much of the rewards out of Zepho and Mandalore as possible.
So
I think it makes sense to do Zepho earlier on. I
yeah.
agree with you. I think that makes the most sense, especially because you are theoretically preloading it earlier anyway. You have a head start, so you might as well just finish it and then preload the rest into Mandalore.
It just means we have to try on day five and six now. Boo.
It does. Yeah. It also means like I'm looking at it, if you want to maximize this, I don't want to hit all three check marks on Zepho. Like, so I don't want to get the star on Zepho and still have people deploying to do the special mission, like the clone special mission, because that now is wasted GP.
Yep, 100%.
So you need to get all the special missions done and then close that zone up with deploys,
Yeah.
because like otherwise you're just throwing it away.
People need to get in early to do their special missions, and then so you can actually push that through. So
And because, like I said, because of how everything dominoes in this, like there are guilds that lose out on a star by, 70,000, 100,000
yeah.
and 500,000 points, like that, all of that trickles. So you definitely don't want that to happen.
Yep.
I don't know, Bane, how you still justify R9 Mandos.
You just do it.
I can't answer that for you. You know what? Actually, I can. It's your pet project, and
Yes.
sometimes you gotta do things for the guild, and sometimes you gotta do things for Bane.
And we know that you have another pet project going on right now, your Ahsoka Tano R9 pet project. So all you're really doing is just stacking up projects. You are setting goals for yourself for later this year. And setting goals is a way to lead a healthy life. We're just asking you to live healthily.
My goal is to have cake every day.
Okay. I want you to live healthy. Sarah wants you to just eat cake. So that's the trade-off.
I don't think I saw any other questions in chat.
So there was one more,
Was
and
there?
I'm yeah, so Lamplighter asked, and he did a link to again the Jar Jar event. And it said, so controlling Plasma Pulse, the shield generator basic, will be critical for the Jar Jar event, which I think is what it says in there. How do we control when it will be up in the turn order, seeing as it does not have an indication like a TM bar and no description of how to proc it in its kit? Subtext, How is it procced? So how it's procced, we believe, we were talking about this off air, and Mulpoke and I were having a conversation about this earlier today as well. How I believe it works is when all of the recharge goes down,
That's when
there's a bonus turn, and that's when you use the basic. Like if that, and that bonus turn is when it happens and everything comes back up. So when they talk about managing that, it's more about there is some heal capabilities. So it's how do you burn that down to the point of using it as part of that and using abilities that take away those charge values or the recharge values of the shield generator to get you to where you need to be. So
So you start with, I think it's 20, or is it 50?
I think it's 50 recharge. I think it's 20 stacks of
Of shield and
shield.
whatever it
Yeah.
is. So you start with 50, you bring it all the way down, and then you take your bonus turn, and then you get 50 again. So like that is your effective turn meter bar.
Yes.
And it's just a matter of bringing it down as fast as you can. So goody. Okay. We did have a Leviathan event.
Have we hit the point that it's we can't quite track this anymore because it's we've essentially hit density?
I think so. It's still at 75. Like, so an executor is still at 11. Yeah, I don't think this has changed. Profundity is still at 8. So we are it's redundant.
We have hit max density. It's, everyone who's going to take it to R7 is taking it to R7.
You mean 7-star?
There's 7-star. Yep.
And
I
everyone who's not
oh,
has not.
I'm gonna lift my finger up into the screen. I'm pointing right now.
I need 60 more shards.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's fine. I feel like I'm gonna have to take it to 7-star for TV.
I bet eventually you're gonna need to.
I don't want to. I'm gonna have to do it for the GP, aren't I?
Yep, you're going to. We are, I promise you, we are gonna end up being your R or your 6-star to 7-star Leviathan short this week of that last star.
Okay, so here's what I'll do. I'll deploy everything except my. It doesn't matter because I don't even. I can't upgrade it. So when I get to the amount of shards, I will deploy everything except my Leviathan,
And we'll see where we
and
land.
see what happens. Assuming we don't get there naturally beforehand, because yeah, we can talk about this in a minute. But yeah, like I said, I need 60 more shards. I haven't refreshed that event at all.
Hey, at least it's 60 more shards. You will have it done by the end of the calendar year.
That's true. That's a great way to look at it. I'm going to tell Xerath that.
But on the flip side of it, at 60 more shards, you may unlock the next capital ship before you take this one to 7 stars.
I know. I was joking with Xerath about this. He's going to log into my account and he's going to hit, like, he's just going to be so mad that I haven't done it, because I will fully like screenshot it and plaster it everywhere and be like, look at what I did.
He's going to gift you a vault, and then he's going to go in and he's going to spend the vault on the remaining shards.
I just realized, man, I just realized I'm going to eat my words. Fuck.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
I fully like said on crate, I don't believe in purposely handicapping your roster. Shit. Ah, man. So
Here's,
anyway,
if you keep forgetting to refresh that the event, that is not being purposeful.
well, I'm saying it in the sense of getting it to 100 out of 100 and
Yes.
not hitting upgrade.
Ah, got it. Got it.
That's probably where I will eat my words.
Hang on a minute. Hang on a minute. You're the same person that gets a character to 85 of 85 shards
Correct.
and then does not hit upgrade
Correct.
because that's the secret to actually getting more shards. So you've been
Right.
doing it a lot longer. I think you're a hypocrite.
No, because this is not a farming thing where it's RNG dropping the shards. This is a go in, do the battle once a month thing. So
Got
it doesn't count. If it was a
it.
ship I was farming, it would be out of 85 still.
Okay. It. Right. Absolutely, it would.
Like, let's get things straight. Okay, this is related because we're gonna go to Uncle Owen's moisture farm
Got it.
and talk about who and what we're currently farming in game. And if you want, do you want to go first?
I'll go first because mine's pretty quick.
Okay.
Had a little bit of a shift in Project 89.
Yeah.
I've moved to years.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm knocking them out by years, and I finished up all the characters from 2019 forward are now all Relic 8 with some Relic 9s sprinkled in. I will be moving on to 2018. I'm actually excited for 2018 because that will finish the Old Republic. And that will finish like all
Wow.
of the solo smugglers. So
That
solo
was
smugglers and Old Republic both came out in 2018.
really wow. I didn't realize. I thought Solo Smugglers was like 2017.
Unless Bodhi's spreadsheet lied to me. And I mean, we're just going to blame Bo Bodhi if that's the case.
I could be
So.
thinking of like, maybe I'm thinking of like L3 or something like that.
So I am looking in here right now. So 2018 tanks were Vandor, Chewbacca, and Zalbar.
Oh, you know what? I'm thinking of Rogue One. I think
Yeah,
Rogue One
yeah.
was earlier.
Yes, correct. And then it's like Enfys Nest, Fox, Mission, YOLO, Yo Cho. I forget what we call it. Young Lando.
YOLO.
YOLO. Is it
Oh,
YOLO?
no.
And
Landino.
yes, that's right, Landino. Basplashan and T3M4 and Jolie Bindo. So, yeah.
Yeah. Wow, that's gonna be a good year.
It will be. So that will start after the I'm putting away all the resources for Jar Jar and Amidala right now. And then I'll dip into 2018 at that point. So
Nice. So I'm still doing the Gungan
okay.
thing. I started farming Boss Nass today. I did 15 sims. I got 3 shards. So it's, starting real strong. I am hoarding all of the gear for them already. So
Okay.
like it's literally just the shards. And my plan is to farm Boss Nass, like you said, farm Tarples, maybe pick a couple of his shards up in shipments. We'll see. But I'm probably gonna do, who was the last one? Phalange
Yep.
completely out of shipments. I wanna be like ready to roll. So my question now is, I'm sitting on like 16,000 crystals. Do I refresh when Leviathan comes back next month? Like, do I spend crystals on Leviathan or do I take my crystals and put them solely into Gungans? Like, do I wait for the Gungans to be closer to being done before I decide on putting crystals into Leviathan?
I say no
No. Okay.
because don't refresh Leviathan because there's also those other two Jedi that are coming into the game that are going to be
Yeah.
required for the raid.
The Lover Boys.
Yep. Is that what we're going to call them? Lover boys? I mean, I'm okay with it.
I feel like it's just funny. Yeah. And that's going to be, you're going to want to get those characters
Yeah.
done as soon as possible as well. Those will be marquees, so it'll be a little bit better. At least it's not like waiting around for like a legendary to come back every 3 months.
Yes.
Yeah. What do you think about, we probably should have talked about this earlier, but I just thought about it right now. What do you think about CG Meathead specifically saying Jar Jar's probably going to come back in roughly 3 months? That puts it in the first week of August, give or take, which August, the first week of August will be roughly 8.5 months of speeder bike raid. And they said the speeder bike raid would last 8 to 9 months. So Are they like, do you think they're kind of tipping their hand here to be like, hey, Jar Jar is going to come back beginning of August? New
I
raid
think
is
they are. Yeah.
probably going to come back right around then, or new raid is probably going to drop right around then.
Yes, I think they are, and I guess unsurprisingly, all of the timelines that people have been kind of guessing at are pretty much coming to fruition. You know, we're gonna get we'll get the Lover Boys in the next 30 days leading up to Amidala being released. That would put them likely farmable right at that same time, like when the raid comes out as well.
Yeah, it would. Yeah, because it's usually like, is it like 9-ish weeks after the event that they go
Yeah.
farmable? Yeah, so if they come out sometime, and they're going to come out, they said before Amidala is
Yeah.
unlocked. So sometime in the next 3 weeks,
Yep.
that would put it like mid to end of July. It would be 8 weeks out.
The question is do we get a capital ship in July?
I don't see how we do.
I don't think we do.
I don't think we get a capital ship in July. Especially so here, and this is another thing to kind of like think about is they've done like the legendary at the end of June, and then they
Yep.
do the capital ship in the summer, and then they do the GL in the fall, and then they do the December permanent journey guide character.
Yep.
The December permanent journey guide character all of a sudden became a monthly recurrence character.
Yeah.
The June legendary is now not a June legendary. He's a beginning of May legend. So it's kind of like things are not how they were last year. So I feel like maybe we don't get a capital ship.
What if the Galactic Legend is a ship?
I don't even know how you would do that. Would you have to farm ship nodes to get tickets?
Whoa, that's gross. Why did I put that out in the world without thinking about that? Oh, man, that's a monkey paw. You got what you asked for.
Yeah. I hope they don't do that. You know what? I just want a post from excuse me. I just want a post from CG about what's coming next.
Yeah,
Excuse me. We're due for it.
I keep coming back to this idea that I just don't, the way that the calendar is aligning this year, I don't see a scenario that we get a capital ship and a galactic budget.
I don't know how we do it. And honestly, I don't think they can. I honestly don't think they can aff not I don't want to say afford, but like when I use the word afford, I don't mean like cost. I mean
Yeah.
like you're gonna run out of content. Like we can't be putting out a capital ship and a GL
Yeah.
every year.
The interesting thing is the Lover Boys. Yeah, this is going to be a thing.
It's totally going to be a thing. And every time you say it, I hear the Dirty Dancing song in my head.
So the Lover Boys release time should be the capital ship requirements.
Oh, good point. Because that was when they dropped Raddus.
Yes.
And yeah, like when we were doing the profundity thing,
Yeah.
Raddus was like a summer drop.
So they would be dropped now so that they could be available again. It was July, August is when we typically got the capital ship at that point. So what I wonder, if we're not going to get those two with Amidala in the raid, and then after, you know, when we get into the August time frame is when we start to get the flood of ship stuff.
And we see
So,
it more towards like the fall,
well,
early
and
winter.
yeah, and then we get a raid character aligned 6 to 9 months after well, set up so that it would be part of the whatever the next raid is, we get a Galactic Legend with that raid. So we would get a Galactic
Oh.
Legend in, we'll call it, so 9 months from August would be what? That would be 4.
Like
This
a
like this time
year-ish.
this time next year.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we would be getting a Galactic Legend at this time next year that comes along with the raid.
Interesting. That would be a long time to go without a GL. They'd have to drop something big in the middle.
Yeah, I think that there's a big ship coming. Actually, I think there's a little ship coming.
Maroon 5.
Yes. Adam Levine flying.
Yep.
It's Adam Levine, right?
It is Adam
Yeah,
Levine.
Adam Levine flying
He's
flying an
gonna come
X-wing.
in crooning about Amidala and she will be
Yeah,
loved.
yeah, yeah. Just tattoos in the windows. So I could see that being what we end up drop how it plays out for the rest of the year.
I honestly could see that too. I don't think they can keep doing a capital ship and a GL and a raid. Like it's a ton.
By the way, if they really want to get interesting with it, the way that you play that, the way that you tease that out is you drop Lucian's ship, they become requirements. You drop some of the Andor characters because they're all essentially rebels, and then you roll into Red 5, and the Lucian ship comes underneath Akbar,
Oh, okay.
so that fills that ship out, and then those Andor characters set up Galactic Senator Mon Mothma as your Galactic Legend in the back half of the year,
Ooh.
or in the early part of next year.
I like that.
We'll see.
If they start dropping those characters, Pico. We got to talk about who you know.
Not who I know, it's whose passwords I know. That's what we're.
There you go. Is there anything else we need to discuss?
Don't think so.
I think we got through all of the chaos.
We'll see. I think that there's going to be some anger in the next couple of weeks.
I mean, status quo at this point.
Yes, I think the dark side is going to be taking root for a little bit.
Well, I'll let you do the honors because I have nothing else.
All right. Well, thank you all for joining us live from the Chelsea Hotel this week. That ought to do it. And until next time, Patty, we're home.